to Women's Midweek Wednesday night, the first one of the year. We all made it. A few of us are missing, but we can encourage them right later on.
Amen.
So I'm excited to be able to just meet with the women tonight. I think that it's a special time whenever we get this kind of time. So anyway, to start out the year, you know, the beginning of the year is just, you can kind of come into a new year feeling all kind of feelings, you know. And to be honest with you, I think closing out this year for me was just exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, I ended the year sick as a dog, really. I got really sick. But really, it was kind of a combination of, I just think, a lot of life just caught up to me at the end of this year. And so I don't know where each of you were at, but I feel like God's kind of taken me on a journey the last several weeks, just kind of bringing me back to the heart of Him. And so I just kind of want to share a little bit about what He's been teaching me and hope you guys can get something out of it too. So we're gonna start in the book of John. It's kind of cool how God and the Holy Spirit work in your life to kind of get your attention. And if you're listening and you're attuned, then you really start to hear Him say some of the same things over and over again. On Christmas Eve, one of our traditions, one that I had growing up, is we would, this is before I was a disciple, we would go to candlelight service. That was just something, you know, my family always did. And even after I became a disciple, I wanted to keep that tradition going because it's just a way that, you know, for me, I connect with Jesus, I connect with His birth. It's just reverent to me. It's just tradition, you know. So this year I had just come off of being really sick, but I was really determined. That was something I really wanted us as a family to do. So even though we were just barely well enough to go, we just went to the church across the street from where we live because they were having like a service every hour. But, you know, in that service, if you flip over, we'll actually start in John chapter 1. You know, a lot of churches, you know, read this, you know, around Christmas time. But in John chapter 1, I'm going to be reading tonight out of the Passion Translation. This is a gift that I got for Christmas. And, you know, there's sometimes when you read a different translation, I want to kind of challenge us to really try to open up your heart, because you can go one of two ways with a different translation. You can just shut down and just get really thrown off, or you can be really intrigued and drawn and kind of see it in a different way and say, that kind of hits my heart a little differently. So really try hard to, you can follow along in your word, but I want to read a lot tonight from this translation because it's really been kind of just inspiring me in my walk with God. So in John chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "In the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together face to face in the very beginning. And through His creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from Him. Life came into being because of Him. For His life is the light for all humanity. And this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom." And obviously, this is all talking about Jesus. You know, who Jesus was. Jesus is the Word. He is the living expression. So that was kind of the beginning of God kind of, you know, really reminding me who He is, that He is God. He is the Word. He is the Word of God. My mother-in-law came into town over this Christmas break, and she's a disciple, and we had the most incredible spiritual conversation one day. We were sitting in the kitchen and all sitting around. I mean, it was like a 3 or 4 hour conversation, she, me, and Stephen. And we were talking about all kinds of things. We were talking about heaven. We were just talking about thought. I mean, we just went on and on. And we would open the scriptures, and she'd share a scripture, and Stephen would. I mean, we just all went around. It was just awesome. And I don't even know if she remembers saying this, but it was I totally believe it was the Holy Spirit, because she said, we were talking about something, and she said, well, of course, if you really love Jesus, then you'll love the Word of God, because the Word is Jesus. And it really convicted me, because I was sitting there thinking of, I absolutely love Jesus, but I was really thinking, like, how much have I really been committed to digging into solely the Word? I mean, I've read a lot this year. I got a lot of spiritual books that have scriptures in them. And so I'm in the Word, you know, I'm reading scriptures continually. But how much am I, like, consistently digging into the Word? And so this kind of put Stephen and I on this journey. That's why he preached about it on Sunday, is this conviction to come back to the Word is Jesus. And if we love Jesus, we'll be devoted to the Word of God.
Amen.
So, you know, as fate would have it, I got a new Bible for Christmas. And when you've been around for a while, you know, it can kind of, your heart can get calloused, because you know the scriptures. You know, you could flip to Philippians 4, you could recite it. You know, you could flip to whatever. As soon as you start the first three words of the verse, you can pretty much say the rest of it. And that's not bad. That's wonderful, and that's good. But you can become desensitized, right, to it when you just know it so well. So that's what's really been awesome about having a new translation, is because it's like, I don't know what's coming. Like, I know the reference of the scripture, but I get to really, like, pay attention to what it's saying. Yeah. And it's really come to life for me. It's been awesome. And it also, in this, and I want to encourage you guys with your Bible to, and you can get it on your phone, but the concordances and the footnotes and cross-referencing, like, really going deeper is really powerful. I mean, I know this is not, we all know this, but really getting back to saying, okay, I want to get closer to Jesus because I love him. Amen. And so I started in the book of John. That's where I've been for the last couple weeks, or since Christmas. So let's start, going into 2019, before I get started, my desire for us in this group is to be women who really passionately pursue Jesus again. Some of you are just maybe some of you are not starting, or you're about to start, or some of you have just started, you know, not that long ago. But some of us have been around a while, and sometimes we just have to be called back to the heart of Jesus, called back to really being seekers after him. Like, really following after him. You know, as I've been reading through the gospel, and as I've been watching Jesus, you know, when he was on this earth, think about it, if he was on this earth right now, what that would require of us to go find him, to go seek after him, right?
Yeah.
We would have to get up and move, and it would be very exciting.
Yeah.
But now it's intimate in a different way. It's seeking him through the Word and allowing him to infiltrate our life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it starts with that intimate time in the Word of God with him. And it's a great time for us to do this and to reset. So let's start in John chapter 4. You know, there's so much we could share in the book of John. But I really was touched. This is, you guys all know this story. Starting in John chapter 4, I'm going to read this whole section out of this translation. So you can just listen or close your eyes or take notes. But it says, soon the news reached the Jewish religious leaders, known as the Pharisees, that Jesus was drawing greater crowds of followers coming to be baptized than John. Although Jesus didn't baptize, but had his disciples baptize the people. Jesus heard what was being said and abruptly left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaritan country or territory. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph long ago. Wearied by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well. He sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink of water." Surprised, she said, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself along with his children and livestock?" Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied."
Amen.
"For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life." The woman replied, "Let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water." Jesus said, "Go get your husband and bring him back here." "But I'm not married," the woman answered. "That's true," Jesus said, "for you've been married 5 times and now you're living with a man who is not your husband. You have told the truth." The woman said, "You must be a prophet. So tell me this, why do our fathers worship God here on this nearby mountain, but your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship? Which is right?" Jesus responded, "Believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you won't worship the Father on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. Your people don't really know the one they worship. We Jews worship out of our experience, for it's from the Jews that salvation is made available. From here on," listen to this, guys, "from here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth." We'll stop there for right now. So did you like that translation?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty powerful. It's pretty cool. I'm only going to share what I wrote because I'm not going to go crazy here. So I have this orchid in my bathroom. I have 2 of them. I was almost about to bring it because they're both dying right now. and I've even taken them up to the bathroom because they say the humidity from the shower is supposed to, you know, help it, you know, survive through like the cold winter months and everything. So I have it up in my bathroom, but it's still dying because it's being busy and crazy. I haven't been diligent about watering them well, and I've just kind of let them go. So it's interesting how the Holy Spirit and God gets your attention about things. Here I am feeling lifeless and tired and sick and run down from the year, and God's pointing me back to the Word of God. And I'm in my quiet time and I'm thinking about this living water. And before I had this quiet time, I was in my bathroom, and it was almost like God allowed me to notice that orchid for just a second or two longer before I had my quiet. It was weird. It was just like I just remember staring at it for a second, not knowing that God was going to tie it into my quiet time. Because what this scripture really showed me was that, you know, when we're burnt out, when we're tired, when we're weary, we have to really figure out, have we really been allowing the Word of God to wash us? Because what God was sharing with me, well, Kristen, if you would just water that plant regularly, guess what? It's going to perk back up. It's going to come back to life. Hopefully I haven't destroyed it. But that's the same as it is with you and me.
Yeah.
We are a part of the vine.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need a little refreshing. We always do.
Yep.
If we let ourselves go, like just like that plant, we're all going to get, mm-hmm. you know? But it's the Word of God that really awakens us, that gives us that living water. You know, when you think about that gushing fountain, that's what I was thinking about. And I've even prayed through things like that with God lately. Like, I want the Holy Spirit to be fully alive in me. I don't want to feel like I'm dragging myself along, you know? Yeah. And he's answering that prayer. He's saying, he's pointing me back to the Word. Mm-hmm. The Word is that pure water that waters our spirit, that waters our soul, that brings us back to life and gives us that gushing fountain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to hold your place there, but let's flip over. I just want to show you a couple other places that really kind of bring this to light. Ephesians, we'll have a couple people read this because you can read it from your translation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 26. Will somebody read that? Just kind of in line with the Word being that living water. And then somebody else, if somebody else would turn to James 1:18. You want to do that one, Gabby, 1:18? And then somebody else do 1 Peter 1:23. So we're just going to read those three. Okay, Katie, you can do that one. So anybody got Ephesians 5:25 ready? Okay, Hannah, will you read verses 25 through 26?
Yeah. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word.
Do you see that? Washing with water through the word. Mm-hmm. The word washes us. The word purifies us. The word is powerful. Actually, I thought about you when I read the scripture because she shared with me, Alyssa shared with me on several occasions how Jonas will just read scriptures to her. He will just talk to, you know, how he does that. I thought of him with that scripture because I'm like, he's washing you with the word. So beautiful. Okay, who's got James 1:18 ready? Kathy?
He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be kind of its first fruits of all he created.
Birth, which is life. You know, life comes from the word of truth. If you're feeling lifeless, if you feel kind of dead, then we need the word.
Amen.
The word gives us life. It makes sense. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You know, it's like the light, but he's also the life. So it's like the word is life-giving. We've got to be in the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23.
Do this because God has given you new birth by his message that lives on.
I love that. That's really good. Will someone else read it in the NIV too? That same? Okay. Yeah, will you read it out of that one too?
Yeah. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God.
That's huge, you guys. I mean, I feel like that scripture needs to be in the word study. It's like, that is huge. The whole, I mean, if you think back to your conversion, I mean, it was Jesus, but it was through the word.
That's right.
That's what took us from the darkness to the light, was the word of God and digging into the word and studying the word. It's what builds our faith. Mm-hmm. If you don't have faith, you're not really alive spiritually. And faith comes from the word of God.
That's right.
So it's just been really cool to see God kind of, it's so simple, but it's like, I don't know, it's just so easy to forget when we're not really consistently in the word of God that we can just kind of get drift, and we can get kind of, I don't know. Do you guys know what I'm saying? And I want us to have, I'm going to only talk for a little bit because I want us to have some discussion tonight. I want to leave time for that. Let's flip over to back over to John chapter 4. We're going to go past that whole section of what, that we read. I want to take us to... back to the whole verse about worshiping in truth and spirit. The word worship actually means two things, which this was really convicting. It means to bow down to surrender. If God's desire is to worship, it's for us to be people who worship him in truth and spirit. And there's a, you guys can write this scripture down. As I've been studying Jesus and really watching Jesus, John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own except to fulfill the desires of my Father who sent me. Jesus' like main aim was to please God. If we're followers of Jesus, then our main desire should be to please God. That should be what sums up our motivation for everything, is to please God and to fulfill his desire for our life. Like, I want you to stop and really think about that, because that's the heart of Jesus. Like, I can't say that that's been on straight for me, that I can say, like, my main aim is to please God, like, to get myself out of the way and to please him. But so this is the heart of Jesus, is focused on pleasing God. And that word worship means to bow down, to surrender. To bow down, surrender. So let's break this down a little bit. Break it down, bow down. So let's break down bow down, because I studied this out. To bow down. That says a lot.
Right.
I'm bowing down to hate. Well, it's uncomfortable, first of all. Which it should be. Total humility. Absolute total humility before God. That's me saying before God, you are almighty, you are holy, I revere you, you know better than I do, I am nothing without you, I need you, you know what's best for me. Do you get what I'm saying? Total humility. A learner's spirit, a learner's heart, a heart that is open to hearing the voice and the message that God has for me. Total humility. That's what bowing down means. That's true worship. Now, the surrendered part is also that word. And I can share the actual, the Aramaic and the Hebrew word with you, but I'm just kind of simplifying it. So the word surrender is, nothing is off limits, God. It's all laid out here for you. My marriage is not off limits. My finances are not off limits. My children are not off limits. My work is not off limits. There is not one single area of my life that you don't have complete control over and authority to come in and change whatever you want, because my aim is to please you above all. That takes total humility and total surrender. And that is being a follower of Jesus, period. We cannot sit here and say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, if that is not on straight. Now, are we going to be perfect at it? Do we need help along the way? Absolutely. But that is the heart that it's going to take if we really want to make it to the end.
Amen.
If we really want to fulfill in this life that is really short in the grand scheme of things, what God's desires are. Because it's not about me.
That's right.
And even Jesus got that. And Jesus was God. But what's so cool about God, what's so amazing about Jesus is he's just so awesome to follow. Mm-hmm. I mean, he rocks. He is so loving. He is so kind. He has the answer to every one of our problems. He wants to fix it. You know, I was studying out today, he's the resurrection, which means with him, we can't, there's nothing we can't overcome in our life, not one single thing with him. It's just that life to the full is when we're like this with him. Mm-hmm. We can't do it apart from him. We can't do it apart from this.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you're consistently opening your heart, because there's some of us that are in this every day. But I'm afraid it's going in here and then out here. Mm-hmm. Instead of allowing it to penetrate in here.
Amen.
Because it's not about how much we know.
That's right.
Because a lot of us know a lot. It's very humbling once you start really walking with Jesus and watching him and listening to him. You know, there was two types of people when he was on this earth, really. There was the people that believed in him, and then there were the people that didn't. And most of the people who didn't were the prideful, religious Pharisees. And we have to be really careful.
Amen. Come on.
Yeah.
Because we're in danger the longer we're followers of becoming religious.
Yeah.
Hard-hearted. We completely have a heart that's not even anywhere close to Jesus. Because we're so nitpicky about this has got to be this way and this has to be this way. Oh, that's, but they just miss Jesus.
Yeah.
Because they were so focused on the letter of the law and they weren't even right. Because they were so hung up on, you know, well, Jesus had to be from, they were saying that he had to be from Bethlehem. Well, he was born in Bethlehem, and they were so stuck that he was from Galilee, but they didn't even realize they were wrong. He was born in Bethlehem. They didn't do their homework, you know? And so, you know, but God's grace is sufficient for us wherever we're at. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And in the footnote of the parable with the woman at the well, I love this because it says, you guys are going to love this. It says, nothing satisfies. Here, let me start at the beginning. In chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the water Jesus wanted was the refreshing, satisfying pleasure of her devotion. He says to each one of us, nothing satisfies me except you. Mm. And that's the truth.
Right,
it was like the only reason he got upset with the religious Pharisees was because their pride was keeping them from that intimate relationship that he so wanted.
Yeah.
That was what he wanted. Yeah. That's what he wants with you and me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want us to be, you know, picture perfect all the time. He wants a relationship with us.
Yeah.
And he wants, and the more we spend time with him, the more we want to be like him.
That's
right. You know, it's amazing in just a short amount of time when you're consistently walking with him through the scriptures, it moves you. He moves you. It's that same analogy as, you know, bad company corrupts good character.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, spending time with Jesus makes you want to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
It just does. It's not anything of us.
Right.
It's him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this past week, Stephen and I got in an argument about something, and we were just arguing about the stupidest thing. I can't even tell you what it was now, which is really sad. But I was tired after working. I'd worked 2 days in a row, and he was home with the kids, and it was just, we were at a weak point. We were weak, and Satan knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just were bickering about something, and then it was like I felt Jesus reminding me of my quiet time. It was like in that moment, he showed up. Because I had been showing up with him consistently.
Right, that's true.
He starts to, and all of us who have been around, we know when we've walked with Jesus, this is how he works.
Yeah.
When we're in the word and we're in the scriptures, guess what? He starts helping us in those moments, whether it's at our job, at school, whether it's with our sibling, whether it's whatever, what's going on in our family. Guess what? He starts to help us in those real life moments choose to do it his way.
Right.
Because in myself, I was ticked. And in my own flesh, I wanted to bicker about it. But he was like, drawing me out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's him. That's just how awesome he is.
Yeah. Amen.
So that's kind of part one of, we're going to stop there because I want people to be able to share. I want us to be able to be real. I think that we've got, last year we talked about going deeper. I think this year, you know, we've got to really help each other follow Jesus. You know, it's just about Jesus. It's not about anything else, really.
That's right.
You know, it's about him because he wants to give us life to the full. You know, he's not trying to make our life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It is challenging. There are times where you do have to get out of the way, where I do have to deny myself. But it's only for what's best.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately that aim of wanting to glorify him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what a question I want to leave us with tonight. And maybe we can talk about it. Is your heart's desire to please God above all else? Mm-hmm. Like, what is your real... What do you want from Jesus? You know, people always came up to Jesus and were like, I want this, I want that, I want this. You know, but what is it you really want? And that might be something where you have to journal or meditate or think about. But Jesus, his main desire was to please and glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very high calling. But that's one, if we're a disciple, we adopted that nature when we said Jesus is Lord.
Right.
You know, when you flip over to Luke, we'll just kind of look at that really quick. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25, it says, as massive crowds followed Jesus, he turned to them and said, when you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. Yes, you will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my followers. You know, moving down to the very, let's move down to verse 33, likewise, unless you surrender all to me, giving up all you possess, you cannot be one of my disciples. Salt is good for seasoning, but if salt were to lose its flavor, how could it ever be restored? It will never be useful again, not even fit for the soil or the manure pile. If you have ears, this is good. If you have ears opened by the Spirit, then hear the meaning of what I have said and apply it to yourself.
Wow.
Jesus went around and he taught and he spoke. A lot of times he spoke in parables. And I know you guys have heard me talk about this before. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Anybody?
To see who was
your rivals. And, like, you're a teacher, so you teach that. Like, go further.
To see who was actually like really paying attention to what he was saying, because you actually had to pick out what the end, like what his end goal was in a parable. Like, okay, you're talking about sowing seeds, and like everybody's familiar with that because they're an agricultural society. But he's going beyond just like, oh yeah, we're planting some seeds. He's talking about the spiritual, and he's wanting to see if they're, you know, if they're listening, if they're actually going to take the time to think about what he's saying. Or if, you know, somebody just walks up to the edge of the crowd, hears him talking, and is like, what? And just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He's but looking for people who are going to be devoted.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
to separate his believers from the non-believers, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, that's good.
I think, too, going back with both what Alyssa and Sharon said, you have to think, and you have to process, and therefore you have to question. Like, well, why is he saying this then? Is he saying that I'm the rocky soil? It would force, for those who are really listening, to also to self-evaluate and kind of come to a conclusion about whether repentance was necessary and what needed to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I think with all this thinking, and you think and you think and you think, you eventually take it to heart and it stays.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart's really more for him, and you're willing to go to him and find out more. It's like, okay, he said this. What did you get from him? Like, your heart's leading you to know more about him.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I kind of
thought. Yeah, all in the scriptures, you hear God say, "Listen to my son. Listen to his message." There's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, or I guess you could take it either way, but the point is, it's listening with your heart ears. There's a difference. You know, some people were just coming to listen to Jesus or see what was going on, you know, for the hype. But it took faith for the people to really listen with their heart, and it also took a desire to want to know Jesus and to pay attention. It took a humility. That's kind of this whole bowing down and surrendering. It's getting our heart, and this is a perfect time with this fast starting. You know, to be honest, I've been wrestling around with what am I fasting. You know, it's like every day I'm like going back and forth from what I'm fasting for, and I'm not going to be legalistic. I want my heart to be wholehearted about it.
Yeah.
And I was really convicted actually when Monty was like, "I've already been fasting for 5 days from caffeine and he's struggling, so I'm getting on it, man. I mean, I've been fasting from like a few random things, but I really want to, you know, figure out that one thing that, so don't be discouraged is what I'm saying. If you haven't figured out what you're fasting from, just pray about it, you know, participate, because it'll be good for us. But it's a good time to circumcise our heart,
Amen.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
It's like, because we need to be women as followers of Jesus who are listening with our heart. You know, when we're around each other, we're listening with our heart for the Holy Spirit. When we're in the Word, we're not just reading it. It's not just going in one ear and out the other. It's not to gain knowledge. That doesn't matter to God. That's futile.
Mm-hmm.
It's to go into our heart. We're going to talk about later on how to embrace it and then put it into practice with the motivation behind it, not to be righteous or self-righteous. It's not about that. It's about loving God. That's what it's about. It's about that walking hand-in-hand relationship through your life, through your world. And what's really cool about it is when we really start to build that bond between us and Jesus, we want to do it.
Yeah.
And it just becomes a joy. And then we receive that favor over our life from God. I mean, we're all loved by God, but you want his favor. You want his favor over your life.
Yeah.
So I'm going to close out there tonight, but I want to open it up. The other thing I want to encourage us as a group going into this year that I want to like just quickly say is something I've noticed when we have midweek or church or women's prayer breakfast, we tend to right afterwards like turn off what's going on right here. I don't know if any of you noticed that, but it's like we go from this deep food, spiritual food that we're getting from God, hopefully you've gotten something out of it, to then It's like we pray and it's off, and then we're on to what are we doing tomorrow? What's going on with, you know, this week, and what's the weather like? And I really want to encourage us, because if we want the word to go deep down into our heart, we've got to let the Holy Spirit move. Mm-hmm. That means, bless you, that means when we have times like this, or when you have a good quiet time, talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's called sharing your faith.
Amen.
We need to talk about what we're learning, because that fans the Holy Spirit into Amen. Flame in this room and in our relationships with each other. When we get up and we, and I think part of why we do that, it's uncomfortable. But I want to really challenge you, what are you afraid of? If you're here, if you're calling yourself a disciple, if you're wanting to go all the way with God, then go all the way. That means when this time ends, let's not end. Let's not squelch the Holy Spirit. Let's call each other. What'd you get out of it? Yeah. And that's why we're gonna do that for a few minutes to get some more practice. But and I'm not being down on you guys. I'm just trying to encourage my prayer for this church and for us is that the Holy Spirit's lampstand will be so bright in this church.
Amen.
We've got to, but we can't have that if we kind of, and I don't think it's intentional at all. I don't believe that. I think that it's our enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gotten us into this pattern of we just know how to turn things on and turn things off. But no. God wants us to, especially in this time, this is sacred. We don't have to turn it off. We get to keep talking about God. We get to fan each other into flame and be real and confess our sin and pray. You know, this is the time for us to lay it out with each other and to be there for each other.
Amen.
So that's it. So I'm gonna. So I want to open it up, you guys, for just thoughts and